1. Begin transmission.
Whoa, hey yo hey. Is this thing on? It must be on because it is 19:30 UTC. So, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whichever salutation pertains to you and the time zone that you live in. Oh, it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. My name's Tobe. I'm the chairman of this committee. And as usual, I've got a giant cup of tea right here. Oh, it's good. Yes. Oh, yeah, baby. It's true that I do love to drink tea. And that tea is starting to cool down a little bit. I'm going to have to heat it up, but I can't put it in my microwave because my microwave is dead. You might remember me mentioning that. And so I'm sort of annoyed. I'm annoyed that I have no microwave. Yeah. But I will eventually get a new one. And so earlier today, I was looking at my old microwave and trying to figure out how it's attached to, well, the walls and the cabinets, because my microwave is not a countertop microwave. This is one of those microwaves that sits above your stove, right? I have that kind of microwave. And I'm realizing that, you know, I'm going to have to take out the old microwave to put in the new microwave. So I was trying to figure out how to take out the old microwave. And this was just not even an hour ago. I was in my kitchen. And to figure out how to remove the old microwave, I had to look up in the cabinets that are above the microwave, which are two teeny tiny little cabinets that aren't very functional because of the microwave and the vent and all that stuff. And I don't really keep anything in these cabinets. I have some like cold and flu remedies in that cabinet and a bottle of liquid paraffin for, you know, paraffin lamps. And if you believe that, oh, I've got some real estate in Florida to sell you. Yes, I have liquid paraffin. No, it's not for lamps. Duh. But anyway, I was, you know, standing on a chair looking in these cabinets trying to figure out how to remove the microwave. And sure enough, there's an electrical outlet in one of these cabinets that the microwave is plugged into. Plus, there's four large bolts that apparently are holding the microwave. So somehow I got to figure out how to take out these bolts and lower the microwave safely. I'm either going to need multiple people or I'm going to need some kind of jack. I haven't really, you know, figured out the logistics of that yet. But the interesting thing that happened was that I found a piece of newspaper. And I recognize this old piece of newspaper. This is a single page of the local newspaper. It's folded in quarters. And boy, I carried this around with me forever. I don't remember how I got this page of the newspaper, but I saved it for reasons we'll get into in a minute. And I used to carry it around with me in like a little folder for my old job. And when I eventually quit the job and I moved and did all this stuff, this came with me. And when I moved into this house, I put it up there in that cabinet and I haven't seen it since. But here I am, looking at a newspaper that was printed on or about Wednesday, April 9th, 1997. Yeah. So this newspaper is over 20 years old. And the reason I saved it was because it actually has a recipe that I'm interested in. And there's an article. This is from like the food or living section of our newspaper, and it has a picture of the two women who owned this great Thai restaurant in town. There's a Thai restaurant in town called Thai Pepper, and it still exists, but these two women, these two sisters, do not own it anymore. Their names were Nita and Nina, and they were awesome. And this was, it was the best Thai restaurant in town, and it might still be. I don't know. I haven't been there in quite a long time, nor have I tried out some of the other Thai restaurants, some of the newer Thai restaurants, which reminds me, there's a new one out across the street from Walmart, about not even 2 miles away. Do I have any dollars? No, I don't have any dollars. We're not going to the Thai restaurant today. But at the Thai restaurant that I was talking about, Thai Pepper, owned by Nita and Nina, they had tons of great food, including an appetizer called Golden Nests. Now, me and my friend Doug, back in the late 90s, we used to eat at this restaurant all the time. I'm talking once a week or more. That's how good the place was. It was just delicious. And we would tend to eat the same entrees as we always did, but we would always mix it up with the appetizers because the appetizers were really good. And usually we ate what they called vegetable balls. And the vegetable balls were pretty good. I don't know how to explain what they were. They're kind of like, imagine a hush puppy, but with little, like, chunks of vegetables in them. And I don't even know what vegetables were in these. But they were essentially a type of fried bread dough that were then dipped into the sauce, into your typical, you know, your typical Thai chili pepper sauce. But there was another thing that they had called Golden Nests, or Kabong. And the Golden Nests were unbelievable. They were so good. And basically what they were was like imagine hash browns except sweet potatoes. And then deep fried. And then served with some of that sweet Thai chili sauce, right? Oh, they're so good. Those stupid Golden Nests. Oh, they're so delicious. And now we come to the reason why I have this newspaper from 1997. There's an article in here entitled Thai Pepper Plans New Year's Feast. The everyday foods of Thailand have become uncommonly popular in the Midlands. Now, the two sisters who own and operate the Thai Pepper restaurant plan to introduce the special Thai dishes served for traditional New Year's settle, blah, 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 blah. And it goes on, this article is about the Lunar New Year feast that the Thai Pepper puts on and some of the dishes that they're going to serve. And they're going to serve kabong, the Golden Nests, the stir-fried chicken with eggplant, blah, 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 and Chiang Mai beef curry, and some other stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And the reason that I saved this newspaper is because they actually print the recipes for these dishes, including the recipe to make how to make kabong. The Golden Nests. And here's the recipe. 1 pound sweet potato, peeled and cut in matchstick-sized pieces. 1 tablespoon red curry paste, 1/2 cup of water, 1/2 cup of rice flour, 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/4 cup chopped fresh coriander leaves, also known as cilantro, and 1/4 cup sliced green onion, plus lots of oil for deep frying. So then you julienne your sweet potatoes, then mix curry paste, water, flour, rice flour, salt, fresh coriander, and green onion. Add the sweet potato and mix. Heat the oil up for deep frying and drop vegetable mixture one tablespoon at a time into the hot oil. Fry until golden brown. Remove and drain on paper towels. Makes 8 servings. Oh, golden nests. So am I going to the grocery store so I can get some sweet potatoes and stuff so I can make some golden nests? Well, no. I don't really have the capabilities to do any deep frying. Although I could. It wouldn't be pretty. I don't want to make the mess. I don't want to have to put up with oil splatters everywhere. But I tell you right now, if I had a restaurant, I'd be making golden nests. Oh, these are so good. So imagine, you know, like I said, imagine hash browns or shredded sweet potato. And then you make a little pile of that, you dip it in the batter, you mix it with other stuff so it gets all batter coated. Then you deep fry it. So it's deep fried batter coated sweet potatoes. Nom, 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 nom. And then the dipping sauce is, you know, your basic Thai sweet chili sauce, which is basically made by mixing vinegar and honey and chili paste and chili flake and chilies and some water, and then you reduce it down. I have a recipe for that somewhere. I used to have that particular recipe memorized, but I don't remember it off the top of my head today. And that's how you make golden nests. If you want to make golden nests for yourself and you need the recipe, contact me, tobe@sdf.org, and I will give you this recipe. And now I'm so hungry for golden nests, it's not even funny. Other recipes included in this newspaper article include Chiang Mai curry, stir-fried chicken with eggplant, and I guess that appears to be about it. And so, for 20 years, almost 21 years, let's say 20 and 3/4 of a year, I have saved this newspaper article just for the golden nest recipe. Oh, now I'm trying to think if I know anybody who has a deep fryer, one of those like little ones, like a Fry Daddy or something like that. I wonder if my friend Brian has one. No, he's a pretty healthy guy, and he doesn't even like to eat donuts, so I don't... he used to, but I don't know if he would have a deep fryer. I wonder if Doug has one. I kind of doubt it. But you never know. Doug's mom might have one. I should contact Doug and tell him, guess what I found? I found the recipe for Thai Pepper's golden nests. Let's make golden nests. It probably wouldn't take too much to convince him. Oh. You know, and the other thing is, I've kind of always wanted a deep fryer. And I thought, you know, maybe if I just get a small one, then I can make beignets and other fried dough things. I realize this is not the healthiest way to eat. But I'm a pretty good eater as it is. I eat pretty decent food. But every once in a while, I do want something like a donut. Or, you know, zeppoles or beignets. Or sopapillas, you know, fried dough is pretty good. And anybody who tells you that they don't like fried dough is lying. Geez, now I want to fry up some dough. I want to make some golden nests and some beignets. Oh. Yeah, if you don't know what a beignet is, it's like a French sopapilla or a French zeppole. If you don't know what a zeppole is, it's like an Italian beignet. No, you know what sopapillas are? They're like a Mexican beignet. Every culture in the world loves to eat fried dough. And they have recipes So, you know, someday I'm going to come up with the Ethnic Fried Dough Cookbook by Tobe. And basically it has recipes from all around the world, how to make fried dough and other crazy fried things like these golden nests. Oh, nom nom nom. Now I'm making myself hungry. And what am I going to eat today? I think today is going to be rice. Rice, rice, rice. I do love to eat rice, rice, rice. It's so yummy. Yummy rice. Yeah, so I'm looking at the rest of this newspaper. And here's an ad for the 1997 remodeled kitchen home tour. Looking for a beautiful, well-organized kitchen? Yes, I am. Oh. And this is a dorky newspaper, and this is the dorkiest part of it. I'm just glad I saved that golden nest recipe. Mm-mm-mm. I do love sweet potatoes, and I do love sweet potato fries. Oh, and there used to be this brew pub in town. They were all the way downtown, and they had, what was it called? They had this sort of appetizer slash snack plate that was basically nothing but fried potatoes and onions. And it was regular potatoes and sweet potatoes. So there was French fries and sweet potato fries, or Belgian fries. I actually know where, you know, good French fries really come from. They come from Belgium. Isn't that right, X1? Oui, qu'est-ce qui se passe? D'accord. So anyway, do I want some tea? I do love tea. But anyway, yeah, this brew pub downtown, they had great beer. And we would go down there and get some of that good red beer that they had and get a big order of these fried potatoes. And the fried potatoes, you know, they had sweet potatoes and regular potatoes and fried green onions. And then it came with different dipping sauces. And one of them was like an apricot. What was it? It was apricot and something else. It was like apricot jam. And so if you want to try something good, go to the store and get some frozen sweet potato fries and some apricot preserves. Bring it home, cook up the sweet potatoes according to the package directions, and then take some of the apricot preserve and mix it with like a little chili paste. Or if you don't have chili paste, I don't know why you wouldn't, but if for some reason you don't, put a little cayenne pepper flake in there or something like that. Stir that up. Mm-mm. And use that as a dipping sauce for your sweet potato fries. Now I'm getting hungry and all I have is stupid rice. No. I got some vegetables. I got all kinds of stuff I can eat today. Although I'm kind of thinking about going to the store later tonight. I don't know. What do I really need to get? Not much of anything. Oh well. What else is going on? I don't know. I guess really we need to get back to that bottle of liquid paraffin. It's almost completely full. I've hardly used any of it at all. And now the question becomes, what could I do with this bottle of liquid paraffin? I kind of forgot that I had it. Like I said, I don't open that cabinet very often, maybe once a year, tops. I can't remember the last time I opened it. So now I have a resource available to me, a bottle of liquid paraffin. Well, liquid paraffin is often used, or at least it was back in the olden days, as rocket fuel, and I do like to build rockets. So I guess we could build a rocket motor that uses liquid paraffin, but we'd need a pretty hefty oxidizer, and you know, liquid oxygen would be good for that, or hydrogen peroxide. But let's just say that I don't have access to high-level oxidizers, and even if I did, I sure wouldn't admit it in public, that's for sure. But it occurs to me that we could use the liquid paraffin in Arsenbot. I'm still thinking about Arsenbot quite a bit. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to listen to last Tuesday's episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. That would have been, what, the 6th? Yeah. If you want to hear about Arsenbot, go to the archive and listen to the February 6th, 2018 episode of Dubious Goals Committee. So I'm thinking, whoa, this liquid paraffin would be real good fuel for Arsenbot. And I'm not using it for anything else, so, maybe we should give that more consideration. So, where are we with this tea? That's what I'm wondering. That's the big question. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so delicious. Oh, yummy. I do love to drink tea. You probably know that about me at this point in our relationship. Whew. Oh, and look at that. I'm looking out my window, and I can see that it is snowing again. And it is snowing pretty good. Lots of tiny little flakes. I don't like tiny little flakes. I like big cornflake-sized snowflakes. But no, as I move closer to the window, these are teeny tiny tiny snowflakes. But there's a lot of them. Yeah. And my nicely shoveled driveway is now coated once again in a layer of snow. And just judging by various factors, I would say that there's, 1 centimeter of snow in my driveway now. Maybe up to a half an inch. You like how I mix my units there? Yeah, that's good science. So, anywho. Oh, I'm gonna sit back down here. Oh, yeah. And look what's on TV. Another advert for that talking Bible. Did I mention this before? I thought I did. Jeez, I wish I would have thought of that. Oh, man. How many people are snapping those up? How did I not think of that? How did I not come up with that? Oh, jeez, I'm just so mad at myself for not inventing something so obvious. But that's the sign of a good invention. If it's something that, you know, it seems like it should have been obvious, then it's a good invention. And I think I once heard somebody define genius as the ability to turn the previously unimaginable into the blindingly obvious. Oh, that's what I need. I need an idea. I need an idea. Something better than Arsenbot. Because, let's face it, Arsenbot isn't going to exactly be a commercial success. Nobody wants a robot that starts fires. Oh. So I got to come up with some kind of an idea that will make me a bo-million dollars. How much is a bo-million? I don't know. Somewhere between 100 million and 1 billion. Where are we with this tea? I'm still totally addicted to this tea. Oh, it's so good. Oh, and that reminds me. I need to move this little thing from this place over to this other place. What is this little thing that I'm handling right now? Well, it's a book. It's a paperback book. And it is by William Gibson. If you guessed Neuromancer, you would be correct. Today I was thinking I should reread that. I haven't read any William Gibson in a long time. Well, that's not totally true. About a year ago, I read one of his later books, but I was on SDF's bulletin board, and somebody had just posted that they had finished reading the Sprawl series by William Gibson again, and I was thinking, geez, I haven't read that in forever. At least a decade, if not more. So I thought, well, maybe I should reread Neuromancer. I haven't read it in so long. And I'm looking over at my bookshelf. Do I have Mona Lisa Overdrive and Count Zero? I know I've got at least one of them. I can see all tomorrow's parties from here. Yeah, I'll have to look in my bookcase later. But I'm going to set aside Neuromancer. And I'm going to pick that up a little bit later. Tonight, when I've got nothing else to do, I'll probably have to sit down in the bathtub and start reading some old Gibby. I remember the first time I read this. Oh boy, this was not the book to give to an imaginative little computer hacker. Back in, let's see, about when did I read that? I remember it was, it would have been around 1985 or thereabouts. I was on vacation with my parents. It was summer, and we were driving out to Colorado to see my grandparents. And this Neuromancer just happened to be one of the books my mom picked up. And boy, oh boy, that started a love affair with the cyberpunk genre. And I was a pretty voracious reader in my younger days. I read all that stuff. And I turned a few people onto it, too. Oh, there. I had to adjust my futon. That's working out a little bit better for me now. So that's what I'm going to do for the rest of this cold, snowy day. It's too cold and snowy to do anything. I was sort of thinking about going to the grocery store, but I don't think I really feel like doing that. I don't know, maybe later. Maybe I'll drive around in the snow just for the sake of driving around in the snow. I don't know. What to do on these snowy days. It's even cold in this room. I've got a sweatshirt on that I put on as soon as I woke up because it was cold. And it still is cold, and I turned the fireplace on. But it's still a bit chilly in this room. And it's a little early for me to be turning on the fireplace. Usually I try not to turn on the fire until, you know, like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. But man, it's a little cool in here, so we got the fire going, and I'm starting to think about food. So I'm going to have to start my rice soon. Oh, well, probably within the next 2 or 3 minutes, because we've only got about a minute left in this show. So I'm going to have to start cooking. I'm not actually hungry, but it's getting past my lunchtime. Why am I not hungry? That's kind of weird, too. I don't know. Or maybe I won't have rice. I've got some pasta. Yeah, I don't. Do I feel like eating pasta? I kind of don't. So I don't know. I guess I should probably take this time to tell you that you have been listening to The Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day without exception at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. So that's always fun. Tune in tomorrow when I talk about whatever happens to be on my mind. It'll probably be another bunch of random stuff because there's no football on tomorrow either. So I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
ハロー。 This is DJ Kumata.